Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
On Twitter, at Rich Cioli, and I saw a familiar friend wandering the hall, so I grabbed him and said, get over here. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only David Urban, Pennsylvania's own and senior advisor to President Donald Trump from day one and still is, by the way, CNN contributor, former chief of staff to Arlen Specter. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I was just with President Trump up in Wilkes-Barre on Saturday.
How was that?
Flew here. It was great. It was great. He had a great big rally, a lot of support, a lot of energy. Told him, keep going. Let's talk about issues a little bit more. Let's talk about the economy and, you know, try to get him focused because, you know, I told him he's unstoppable. He said, how are we going to do? I said, it's up to you. You know, we're going to win if just keep it focused. Listen, Kamala Harris and this Democratic, the party for the past 32 days have not had a glove laid on them by legacy media, by the networks, by take your pick, anybody. And they've had a flawless rollout for her presidential campaign. Yet, they are tied or behind Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He is, after this is over, this convention's over, they'll get a minor bump probably. But then, as Hillary Clinton warned, as Obama warned, like, Trump is ferocious. Mm-hmm. They basically told the people in this arena, like, gird yourself for battle. Because you guys don't know what it's like. We may not win. Because that's how tough Donald Trump is. And so I was kind of ducked out cable. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, sponsors.
Yeah, this isn't CNN. We got to actually go by the FCC laws.
You clean that up.
All right. But that's why God made a delay, a dump button.
Yeah, okay. You can dump that part. But, you know. But he's a tough campaigner. He's a tough guy. Listen, Kamala Harris, where she won an election? The state of California. Ooh, that's really tough, right? I mean, who could be more liberal than the next person right on the ticket, right? So you have this, like, run to the left there. So now she's the presidential nominee for the Democratic ticket. She didn't run a race for that, right? Remind your listeners, when she did run in 2019, she got exactly zero delegates, had to drop out. She was the first one out of the race. She was so pathetically bad that nobody voted for her. Now, all of a sudden, she finds herself at the top of the ticket. You know, Mike Tyson famously said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the nose, right? Well, guess what? They're about to get punched in the nose starting on Monday, right?
Yeah.
Tim Walz and Kamala Harris are going to get punched in the nose a bunch. And by that I mean they're going to have to answer questions.
Well, you think shocking. They will, though. That's
shocking.
The question. Listen, I mean, will they?
Well, they're going to have to. They get off the bus in my hometown there in my home county. Well, they were in Beaver County. They went, you know, they landed in Moon Township at the airport there in western Pennsylvania. They went to Beaver County, you know, so they could get out of Allegheny County, did the visits. And then she's getting back off the bus. And in that shielded, you know, 30-second walk from the bus to the terminal, somebody asked her the incredibly tough question of how you're going to pay for it, and she couldn't answer. She stumbled over things. She was.
Yeah.
You thought they asked her how to, like, perform, like, you know, heart surgery, right? Like, she couldn't answer a question like, "How do you pay for this ginormous program that you're?" And she's like, "Well, you know, humming a." Like, Rich, I want her to explain. I want her to come to Pennsylvania and explain just the two questions, just two easy ones. You were the queen of the Green New Deal for years. There's numerous videos of you saying,
I want to ban fracking.
Day one. Ban fracking, right? Day one. And then, magically, she sends out some person, not even a name, some person to hand a piece of paper to somebody that says, we now don't oppose fracking.
Right?
She was shouting, end fracking day one. Now we don't oppose fracking.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if she's trying to be too cute by half, like the people on east of City Line Avenue don't figure it out, right? The people west of City Line Avenue think something else, right? But she's going to have to answer that question. And I'd just ask her, like, you know, Madam Vice President, can you explain to Pennsylvanians, this is such an important industry here, can you explain to Pennsylvanians how you made that journey?
Yeah, why are you flipping?
Yeah, how you made that journey in your mind. And it because to us, it seems maybe political expediency. Can you explain that, right? Mm-hmm. Question number one. Let's see what she says. I suspect after she answers that question, she'll drop about 10 points. The second question I'd like to hear her answer is, you know, Madam Vice President, Democrats always say, when they talk about gun reform, they always say, I'm for common sense gun reform. I'm for closing the gun show loophole. for background checks, for red flag laws. And listen, there's a lot of those things that make sense, right? And they're hard to argue against. Banning bump stocks.
Mm-hmm.
What Kamala Harris has said is, we want your guns. We're going to knock at your door, and we're going to take your guns.
Right.
She has espoused a position of mandatory gun buyback. That even sounds like a euphemism. Mandatory gun buyback. No.
That's confiscation.
That means the ATF shows up at your door, some agency,
yeah,
knocks on your door, says, give me your guns.
Here's
$10.
Yeah, right.
Like, so in the state of
Pennsylvania. Mandatory part.
It's not
an option.
Yeah. So in the state of Pennsylvania, there are more, I don't have to remind everybody, there are more than a few gun owners, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Western Pennsylvania, the first day of deer season, you know, schools are closed because no one goes to school. Right, everyone's out hunting. Everyone's got a buck hanging from their clothesline in the backyard. Right, it's like something out of The Deer Hunter.
But David Urban, I mean, everything you're saying.
So she's got to answer that, right?
Well, yeah, yes, but somebody has to actually be able to ask her. Is the point?
Do you think
that they will get the opportunity to ask her these things?
Listen, Rich, I promise you, I'm on TV almost every day, sometimes
CNN,
twice a day.
Baby.
So I'm going to keep pushing until those two questions get asked by somebody. Right, I'm going to shame the media to ask those questions.
Good.
I'm going to keep pushing, and then I'm going to make sure we amplify those answers so the people in Pennsylvania understand how radically liberal. Listen, you may not like Donald Trump. You may think he's like, oh, I don't really care for him. He offends me, right, in some way. You know, read her tax plan, $5 trillion tax plan increase. Your paycheck. You think your paycheck sucks now? Wait till she takes $5 trillion out of your paycheck.
But what about the war on price gouging?
Yeah, price gouging, yeah. Listen, if you...
price gouging.
Yeah, exactly. If you work, God forbid, you work for one of the snack food companies in America, in Pennsylvania, right? Hers or, you know, Snyder's.
Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah, they're all you know, you drive from, you know, Philly to Reading, you know, that's where the snack food industry is headquartered. So guess what? On top of fracking, all those people that make chips and pretzels, you're unemployed.
He said chips. He said chips, just
chips,
for the record.
Yeah, chips,
you're
going
to have to dump that one, Dan. David Urban's with me, Pennsylvania's own, of course, CNN contributor, advisor, senior advisor to President Donald Trump, and former chief of staff to Arlen Specter, among a bunch of other hats. And
Rich, it just sounds like I can't hold a job.
That's the thing. I mean, you're like everywhere. You're a renaissance man. And you know Pennsylvania better than anybody. That's why I love having you on the show. And I think people don't realize that when John Fetterman doesn't come to this, it says a lot. I really think it says a lot. I know he said he was busy, but come on, give me a break, right?
So listen, you know, John Fetterman obviously has a big issue, and rightfully so, with the Democratic Party's position towards Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They coddle the folks who slaughtered innocent civilians and kids on 10/7. Hamas, there's no space in the world for Hamas. I strongly support Israel. I obviously was Arlen Specter's chief of staff. Listen, Rich, I went to Gaza City with Arlen Specter and Yasser Arafat, right? The same beaches, those beautiful beaches you see in Tel Aviv, those are the same beaches they have in Gaza. However, what the Palestinians did with their money, instead of building hotels and casinos and restaurants, they'll build tunnels. They fortified their streets, and they prepared to attack Israel. So instead of moving their people forward, they chose to go backwards and to wipe out, to get ready to wipe out the state of Israel. There's no way to coddle those folks. Listen, if Hamas, they want this to end, give up the hostages today, put down your weapons, and walk away. Just say, we're no longer in power. We will walk away. The Palestinians on the West Bank live peacefully. They live in concert with Israeli people because you know what? They're not strapping vests to kids' chests and blowing up. They're not putting their headquarters under grade schools. These are bad people. The Hamas folks are bad people, and so John Fetterman is right because this party won't strongly and openly and forcefully say that's wrong.
Yeah,
that is wrong. We need to, you know, you'll hear like, we all voices are respected here. No, they're terrorists. They're not respected. I'm not going to coddle a terrorist. You're killing kids. You're killing women. You're doing 10/7. I'm not coddling you. I'm not going to respect you. I'm going to hit you in the head with a 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
And good for John Fetterman. Look, I applaud him. I mean, he's, you know, you see him in Braddock.
I agree.
You see him in Braddock waving the people who are protesting outside his house. I mean, good for him for standing with
Israel.
He doesn't care. I mean, good for him on that regard. And so,
and then the other issue is the border. I mean, he's come out and he said, we can't have the city of Pittsburgh sneak over the border illegally every day in this country.
Listen, John Fetterman, may have to be running as a Republican before
this is over.
That's what
I'm thinking.
Right?
I mean, come on.
Listen, I mean, he reminds me a lot of my former boss, right? He reminds me a little bit of Arlen Specter in that regard, right? Because he is standing for what he believes is right, and the voters of Pennsylvania will reward him for that, right? Democrat or Republican, he'll win because he's standing for the right things. He's not putting his finger in the wind and saying, what do the pollsters tell me? He's like, look, I'm a common-sense person. We can't have this unchecked immigration. We can't have 10 million people flooding the border because we can't take care of the people we have here, right? So how are we going to take care of 10 million more people every year that are getting added that have a huge demand for services? That means for every million person that comes in, every, you know, million people, it's a million people we can take care of less in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. You're putting people in Philly, that means people in the African. This is why you see it's such a big push in the cities, is because people who demand and need services, it's being sucked away from them now, right? They're getting lesser. Their community centers are being closed. People are being housed. They're getting checks. And those in the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum are saying, well, what about me? I'm working three jobs. You're not giving me a check for $1,000 a month. These guys. And so it's really creating a great deal of tension. And look, in Pennsylvania, I don't have to remind you, we had two of the 25 counties in America that voted for Barack Obama, and then they voted for Trump, right? So Erie County and Northampton County are those two, like, bubble counties, right? They voted, and they voted for Biden again. And so we'll see how they go. But in the state of Pennsylvania, you know, I really feel good about our chances, President Trump's chances, because I say to people, explain to me how Kamala Harris, she outperforms Joe Biden in the state of Pennsylvania. Just explain that math. She's not going to do as well in the Luzerne, Lackawanna County. She's not. In the city of Philadelphia, African-American men and Hispanic families are very pro-Trump. Trump's eating the traditional Democratic base. We are registering many new Republicans across the Commonwealth. People who used to be Democrats are now Republicans. So just I'm trying to figure out, you know, where their math is that they're going to have these giant numbers. Allegheny County, maybe. But I just saw, you may have seen this on the Internet, on some Twitter posts, the request for absentee ballots in city of Philadelphia, in Philadelphia County, Allegheny County, way down, like 30% below 2020 numbers, and like 15% down in Allegheny County. So if people aren't requesting absentee ballots, right, in the Democratic Party, that's telling you something. There's not a lot of energy. So, look, again, it's going to be a fight. We need, if you're a Republican and you're listening, vote early if you can. You know, you don't want to get
sick.
We got to
get McCormick over the line,
we gotta
too.
Listen.
Because then when we do that, we can take control of the Senate.
Listen, both ways.
We've got a good chance of doing it, right?
It works both ways, Rich, right? Trump needs to help McCormick. McCormick needs to help Trump. We need Dave McCormick to get across that line. I've known Dave. He's a year behind me at West Point. He's better looking than me. He's way more money than me. He's got way more money than me. He's got a bigger head of hair than me. But I always keep telling him, I go, you're way shorter than me. I can get a hair plan, transplant. I can make more money, but you can never get taller. So, but McCormick is an awesome guy, a guy I've known for years, literally for since West Point days. Right, he's been a year behind me at West Point.
I hope you hazed him there.
Incredible. No, I didn't know him that well.
Oh, please.
West Point. No,
don't
no, he's a great guy. He and his brother are both West Point guys. I know his parents. I know his kids. Dave McCormick's the kind of guy you want to see in the White House someday. He is that quality individual. I mean, there are very few people I would say, you know, I would trust my kid's life with. Dave McCormick is one of those people that I would hand, if I had to give my kid to somebody, I'd give it to Dave McCormick and say, you know, take care of my family, take care of my son, and I know he'd do a good job. And that's why I know he'd do a good job taking care of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And so I, you know, urge it with every fiber in my body. If you know somebody that isn't registered, get them registered, right? If you're not going to be around, you think you may not make it to the polls, vote early, right? I mean, get your ballot, mail it in. We need everybody showing up. This is, you know, this is an election. People say, like, vote like your life depends on it. Well, it really does, because the progressive left is, they're coming after your meat. You saw Kamala Harris wants you to eat less meat.
She wants to ban cheeseburgers, David Urban.
Yeah. Listen, not only your guns, Pat's and Geno's will be closed.
Right, exactly.
I mean, what the hell? Right?
Oh, and,
listen, can they, like, she might as well just say she hates the Eagles and the Steelers, too, by the way, while she's at it, right? She might as well just come out and say, like, I'm a Cowboys fan and a Ravens fan, right, in Pennsylvania. I mean, what could she do that's worse?
The Mets.
Right, the Mets. Exactly.
I mean, yeah,
exactly.
She could also throw the Mets card down, too, if she wanted to.
I mean, she's going to dig a big hole. She can't get out, man.
All right, I know you got to run, but
okay.
Before you go, Cheese Whiz or Provolone?
Oh, dude, listen. So I am a I am a whiz guy all the way, right?
See, now I think you and Vance are crazy.
Here. I'm a whiz guy all the way, dude. You know, you got to go pure. I'm a purist, right?
There's nothing pure about whiz.
Listen,
literally the opposite of pure.
Listen, so the funny part is I had to explain when we were going to Geno's, like when Trump came in 16, right? So I took him to Geno's, right? And I'm explaining to him how to order, and he's like, he's looking at me like, what? I'm like, there's two ways to order, right? He goes, what if I want something else? I go, you can't have something else. There's no other else. I go, it's wit whiz, wit out. Okay, those are your choices, right? And he's like, what? It was like, and then he got up to the counter and he did it all right, and so it all went well. But you know, when you got to explain to somebody, right, who's not from Philly, who doesn't know, who's not a part of the culture, and explain like, well, can I get extra onions? Like, no, dude, you know, there's no extra onions. You're getting. and then, by the way, we had a fundraiser, a rally. We went and ate those things, and he chowed on it. He loved it.
Oh yeah,
everybody on the staff, they loved those, man. They were like, these are really good. I said, yeah, and of course they're really good. That's why everybody loves them. You know, they're fantastic. So
I liked how J.D. Vance brought up the fact that we don't put Swiss cheese on.
Well, yeah, that's what he said. So then,
and he was mocking Kerry.
And then the Inky. And listen, Rich, I know that J.D. knows how to do it because guess who told him how to do it?
Yeah, David Urban.
I told him that morning how to order, okay? I promise, hand to God, okay? I can be deposed. I didn't tell J.D., I told his team, right? I said, here's what you got to do. Make sure, because they said...
Whizgate.
This is Whizgate, right? The Inky. Inky's trying to scuttle the guy, right? And then they had the printer retraction.
I saw that. Yes, I did.
That's how important it is. Like, only in Philly, right? Does the paper have to print a retraction because somebody asked about a different type of cheese? Right? It was a scandal. And we had to make sure, like, JD knew he was mocking Kerry, right? He was asking, like, why is it a big deal that Kerry screwed it up, right? And the Inky's like, oh, he asked. I'm like, no, dude, you got it wrong. There's nuance here.
Tune into CNN to see this guy all over the place. We're grateful that he's got Trump's ear to help win Pennsylvania. David,
listen, I love Rich Gioli. Great guy, man. Love the team. Love the broadcast. Love being on. I wish I had your job. It's super fun, man.
Why don't you listen? Come back tomorrow and hang out the last day for a little bit.
That's what I'll come by every day.
You stay. Okay. I mean, only because there's a guy waiting for you to take you away is the only reason I'm even ending this interview. I mean, I could go on. You're welcome.
We'll talk about the Steelers next time.
I'm on 3 to 7. You got an open seat here from 3 to 7 tomorrow.
All right,
if you want it.
All right, I'll come by. I'll come by and see you again.
All right, good.
See you, Rich. We'll critique. Wall's performance today. We'll see how he does.
Let's do it.
Okay,
see you tomorrow. All right, excellent. Live from the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago, the big story of the day is Whizgate, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. All right, we got a loaded up show for you today. Donald Trump Jr. stopping by. Well, on the phone, Dr. Victoria Coates, Congressman Mike Waltz. We got a lot. We're just getting warmed up. So the number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Of course, you can tweet at Rich Zioli. I still say provolone, but that's me. And we'll be right back.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Live in Chicago, Democrat National Convention. It's Midwestern Doofus Night. That's right. Tim Walz, the goofy guy. That's his whole thing now. He's Mr. Goofball. He's the goofball. Tonight's his big night. After the Doug Emhoff rom-com story last night, like a Hallmark movie from hell. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. Trump just wrapped up his speech in North Carolina, where he stepped out from behind the bulletproof glass to check on a supporter who passed out. So the Secret Service has now put up bulletproof glass in front of his, which is what they've always should have had for him. But he actually stepped out from the bulletproof glass to check on a supporter who had passed out. And it was his first outdoor rally since the assassination attempt at his PA rally on July 13th. I sat down with Congressman Mike Waltz of Florida, and we'll play that for you in a little bit. We talked about the assassination and what questions still remain regarding that, including how this guy, the alleged assassin, whether or not he was working alone or not. And, you know, Congressman Waltz has his doubts. So do I. I really do. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to drop out of the race for president and back Donald Trump. And this is a smart move. It's going to happen on Friday. He's going to give an address on the state of the race, but he will be dropping out. He'll be backing Trump. Smart move for him. Remember yesterday we played you the clip, his running mate, Nicole Shanahan, said in a podcast that there's two roads they can go, and the first road is they stay in, they burn a ton of cash. If they can get 5% of the vote, they could become a legit third party, and she talked about that. But she also said the other path is we put Kamala Harris in the White House, and she doesn't want to do that. So she said this is the tough decision we got to make. Trump said he was open to a big role for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his administration. He called him a very smart guy, a talented guy. He said he brings a lot to the table, and he had a lot of nice things to say about him. I think it got through to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that this is not only just a gigantic waste of cash, but also it could open the door absolutely for a Kamala Harris administration. No doubt about that. Let me just refresh your memory here. So this is his VP, soon to be former VP running mate, Nicole Shanahan, since he'll be dropping out of the race, how the DNC sabotaged their campaign and forced them to be a spoiler. She says, being a Democrat was one of the worst mistakes of my life. Now, she has a lot of kooky positions, in my opinion, liberal positions. But I think, nevertheless, she recognizes how the Democrat Party is a party of elites, a party that is absolutely 100% not about the people. I mean, because think about who their nominee is, a person who didn't even get a single vote in the Democrat primary for president of the United States of America. That's their nominee. That's their nominee. A person who didn't even get a single vote in the presidential race. So this is what she said about that. Cut 17.
Start this campaign. I did not put in tens of millions of dollars to be a spoiler candidate. I put in tens of million dollars to win, to fix this country, to do the right thing. I will say that Clear Choice, this pack, this DNC-aligned pack that was created specifically to take us out, has spent millions of dollars to take us out. They have unfortunately turned us into a spoiler. And we don't want to be a spoiler. We wanted to win. We wanted a fair shot. The DNC made that impossible for us. They have banned us, shadow banned us, kept us off stages, manipulated polls, used lawfare against us, sued us in every possible state. They've even planted insiders into our campaign to disrupt it and to create actual legal issues for us. I mean, the extent by which the sabotage they've unleashed upon us, it's mind-blowing. I mean, we're still learning new ways that they have sabotaged us.
We're still learning all the ways they've sabotaged us, and that's something. So, I mean, they are not the party in any way, shape, or form of democracy. They are the party of the elites, and the elites were on stage last night. Don't you love how Barack Obama comes out and says, it's great to be home, Chicago? Like he was just traveling this whole time. He chose to leave Chicago. The Obamas left Chicago. They wound up leaving to go to Martha's Vineyard and live in a sprawling, massive mansion that's worth tens of millions of dollars. They chose to leave Chicago behind. And he comes out on stage last night. He's like, oh, it's great to be back. Like, I was just out shopping, and now I'm home in Chicago. I was just on vacation. This isn't your home. It's not your home if you leave. It's your home is where you live. That's literally the definition of home. So Barack Obama comes out and says that last night. It's a bold-faced lie. But this is the elites I'm talking about. Look, the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, is going to take the stage tonight. Fresh off of literally politically killing Joe Biden and killing God only knows who else for her meal today. And she's going to take the stage. This is what I mean about the elites controlling this party. It's not the grassroots. And they were terrified of RFK Jr. So it's good that he's going to drop out and back Donald Trump. Trump was actually asked the question, what he thinks about RFK Jr. and could there be a role for him in his administration? Could there be a spot for him? So he responded when he asked, he was doing a podcast, if he would consider Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for a role in his administration. And this is what the former and future president said. Take a listen.
Can I ask you about RFK? Because just moments ago, his running mate said that they were considering endorsing you. Have you considered him for a role in the administration? And what role would that be?
Well, we haven't, but I would love that endorsement because I've always liked him.
Would you also consider putting him in the administration?
You're asking me a very unusual question. I haven't been asked that question yet. I like him a lot. I respect him a lot. I probably would if something like that would happen.
Vaccine czar. There you go. That's probably what it'll wind up being, something like that. Remember, Kennedy's got some kooky positions, too. on climate and some other things. But he's doing the right thing here to help Trump. And Nate Silver, the statistician who founded 538, which he wound up selling to ABC News, but he's still involved with it, he said that Kennedy's withdrawal posed a bit of a downside risk to Kamala Harris, as the independent was taking more votes from Trump than Harris. Now, I would say it depends on where. You know, I mean, this is, again, we don't have a national election here. So I always preface this by saying, since we don't have a national election, we have 50 states that vote for president, but we don't add up the votes and then get to the winner. We have the Electoral College. It depends on where. Is he drawing more votes away from Kamala Harris in a place like Michigan? Probably, yeah. Probably it hurts there. If Joe Rogan had come out and backed Robert F. Kennedy Jr., like we had all thought originally when he said he's the only one that I think is not full of crap or whatever he said, I thought it was a problem for Trump because Robert F. Kennedy, I mean, Joe Rogan's people are way more likely to vote for Trump over Kamala Harris. So you don't want them peeling off and then going for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But he's going to be out of the race on Friday, and he's going to back Trump, and it's a smart move for him, no doubt about it. And the Democrats are still fighting, even as we speak, even in Pennsylvania right now, fighting Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from getting on the ballot, fighting him and trying to stop him from getting on the ballot in Pennsylvania. New Jersey, same thing. Democrats are doing everything they can to try to stop him. Because you have a lot of kooky, wacko lefties out there that don't want to see Trump in the White House. They don't want to vote for Kamala Harris because they believe that the process has been rigged, and also she's too pro-Israel, which is crazy for us to think that she is. But in their mind, she absolutely is. So they wanted to cast a third-party protest vote. Well, they still can, because in some places you've got Green candidate Jill Stein is on the ballot. She's on the ballot, I think, in Nevada, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, it depends on where. And whether or not within those swing states that matter, does Robert F. Kennedy Jr. really pose a big risk to Trump losing Pennsylvania? I don't think so. But if you're talking about a race where it could come down to 1% or 2%, then every vote matters. I mean, the one thing Michelle Obama did say last night that I agreed with is that this race is going to be so close that you're talking about a couple of votes in a precinct is going to make all the difference in this election. I 100% agree with her on that. That's literally the only thing I think I agreed with her entire speech on last night. I will say, thank God she's not the nominee. I mean, really, thank God. And I don't know how many Democrats were probably thinking that last night. Of the opposite of that. Like, my God, wouldn't she be great if she was our nominee? But I just kept thinking last night, like, thank God we don't have to run against Michelle Obama. Because she's not Kamala Harris. She's good. She's really good. But we don't have to worry about that. She's not the nominee. So Susie was right. She's not the nominee. She didn't want to get in the race, but she spoke last night, and I don't know if you're going to see her on the campaign trail going forward or not, but I, for one, took a gigantic sigh of relief that it's not Michelle Obama on the ballot. I still think Trump could beat her, but you don't have to worry about that anymore. And Kamala Harris is not Michelle Obama. She's not nearly as smooth and polished, and she also has something that Michelle Obama doesn't have, which is a record to exploit, and it's a bad record. It's a record as a senator. It's a record as VP, as being part of this administration. She can try to run as an outsider, but she's not an outsider. So there you go. So this is a big deal. RFK Jr. getting out of the race will help Trump in some of the key states that matter, because now the Democrats won't be able to send their votes to him as a protest vote. So where are they going to go? And that's the question. I think a lot of them are just going to stay home. And if there were people that were on the fence about voting for Trump, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. comes out and says, you got to back Trump because we can't let Kamala Harris win, those voters who wanted third party are going to have to wake up and grow up and realize that this is a two-party race, period. One of the following two people will be president of the United States of America. I mean, barring, you know, death or something like that, it's either going to be Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, period. You know, I mean, I can have this debate with my libertarian friends all we want, but it's a gigantic waste of time. One of the two of them is going to win this election, period. And that's how it's going to be. And that's just the way it is. Let me go to Joe in Bucks County. Joe, what's up, my man?
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
As I listen to the Democrats constantly at the convention and elsewhere, their talking point. Basically, all they have is Trump is an existential threat to America, to democracy. He's going to destroy us. He's going to destroy women, kids, et cetera. Why don't they have a campaign commercial using their own words and insert Democratic Party every time they do their own talking, so that at the end of the commercial, you're going to have Trump, great for America, and the American people, bad for the Democratic Party, bad for Democrats. Because yeah. That's really what it makes me laugh. I mean, that's really what they want to say. He's going to hurt us. He's bad for us. We'll lose our power. We're going to lose this. So just that they got the technology to do that. I think it'd be funny, you know?
Well, it's true. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. He's a threat to the Democrat Party and the establishment controlling this country and the endless wars right. and the military-industrial complex and all of it, because he's not going to keep the war in Ukraine going. So that's the biggest thing. And it is he's a gigantic threat to their power, but the threat of the entire establishment. So, Joe, it's a good observation, buddy. But by the way, is it Wiz or Provolone?
Provolone.
Yeah, that's right, my man. That's the correct Provolone. Answer. You are right. Urban's wrong. Correct. Well said. All right, buddy. Thank you, man. Joe. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. What a show we have for you today. Donald Trump Jr. is going to stop by. I'll ask him. Since he's a Philly guy, too. I'll ask him his opinion on what is proper on a cheesesteak. But listen, it's all about relationships, right? Your relationship with your choice of cheese for your cheesesteak is not something I'm going to take away from you. I'm never going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what I think. But I know that relationships matter at Cherry Hill Vavo. And that's why we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Vavo studios. Even when we're at the DNC, we're still, our spirit comes through the Cherry Hill Vavo studios. And you hear me say that a lot because it's a guiding principle of how Judith and her team run their business. They build incredible relationships by providing a luxury Vavo buying experience, always doing what is right, and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the absolute best deal available. And the result is that so many of their customers, like me, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Vavo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. Like my dermatologist, my buddy, Dr. Justin Green. He has like 6 Vavos that he's bought over the years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. It's possible you will always get the absolute best deal on a new Vavo while enjoying fantastic experience at Cherry Hill Vavo. They're never going to shake you down, never going to pressure you. Never. It's not how they operate. And right now they're offering a $15,000 discount on the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 hybrid Vavo. Or qualified buyers can lease the incredible C40 for 36 months for less than $500 a month. They also have an incredible selection of previously enjoyed Vavos in stock. These are like new cars, but without the new car price. Cherry Hill Vavo is the most accessible Vavo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you, giving you that incredible Vavo experience that you deserve. That's right. So what are you waiting for? You can drive the Zeoli family car, not the exact model, but the exact same car, the XC90. So let me reverse that. Not the exact car, but the exact model. The XC90, because that's what we drive, and you can drive it for $15,000 discount on the lease at Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Big news that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be dropping out of the race on Friday and backing Donald Trump. Look at that. Trump also said a short time ago that he's going to hire back over 8,000 service members who were fired from our military for refusing the COVID vaccine mandate. He said, "I will rehire every patriot who was fired from the military with an apology and back pay." That's huge. That's huge. He just said that a short time ago in North Carolina, and good for him. As the commander-in-chief, he absolutely has the authority to do that. Good for him. You know, if you fire him by commander-in-chief authority, you can rehire him by commander-in-chief authority. So good for him. That's smart. Smart move. Because I think people were outraged that people wanted to serve our country but wanted to respect their bodily autonomy. It was funny, last night I heard Democrats say, "Stay the hell out of the doctor's office," which is the party that literally made you go to the doctor and get a shot if you wanted to go to a restaurant, work, or serve your country. The hypocrisy with these people knows no bounds. So let's think about the effect of RFK Jr. dropping out of the race and what this means. So first of all, some numbers for you to look at here in terms of this. According to Real Clear Politics polling averages, Arizona, right now, Trump versus Harris, head-to-head, very, very close, razor thin. Trump is up 0.2, so statistically tied, dead heat. But with third-party candidates in the race, Harris is actually up 0.6. So with RFK Jr. in the race, she has a slight lead. Now, again, it's statistically negligible, and it's basically a tie. But still, when we're talking about an election that could be decided by handfuls of votes in precincts in the swing states of Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, Wisconsin, whatever, every single vote counts. So in Arizona, Trump versus Harris head-to-head, Trump's up 0.2. I just said that. Wisconsin, Harris is up 1, but when you add in third-party candidates, she's up 1.5. Michigan, Trump versus Harris head-to-head, Trump is up 2. When you add third-party candidates, Harris is up 2.4. So you see, in Michigan, in a place like that, the effect of an RFK Jr. really does help her because it gives them an alternative without having to vote for Trump. So that helps Kamala Harris a lot if RFK Jr. stays in the race. Pennsylvania, Trump versus Harris head-to-head, Trump's up 0.2. With third-party candidates, Harris is up 0.2, or Harris is up by 2 points. So again, that's the other point, too, that I mentioned to you, that the effect of RFK Jr. dropping out and backing Trump says a symbol, a loud message, I think, to his people. You got to make a choice here. All right, you got to make a choice. And even if you don't love Trump, this is a binary choice. This election comes down to one of two choices. Doug Emhoff, such a freaking dork, man. I'm telling you, this guy's a dork. But before I get to that, you know how they always say Trump is a cult and Trump voters are in a cult and you're all a bunch of cultists and everything else, all the mockery that they do? Well, Van Jones last night on CNN said probably the cultiest thing I've heard in a long time. And I don't usually watch CNN, but I happened to catch this because I wanted to hear some of the reaction after last night. And Van Jones said this after the Obamas came out and spoke on stage last night. Tell me this doesn't sound like a cult to you. Cut number 4.
Then Michelle, she wasn't doing the minister role. She was really doing the coaching role in that she called it right out. She said, you guys, she talked about the affirmative action of generational wealth. She talked about the luxury of whining and cheating that other people don't have. But she didn't stop there. She also called the left up. And she said the whining on the left needs to stop. The Goldilocks, they're not perfect. This was a masterful act of leadership. It was a sacred task. They took it on well. It was like an oasis. I didn't realize I had been in a spiritual desert until they created that oasis on that stage, and they did a beautiful job tonight.
I didn't realize I was in a spiritual desert until I heard Michelle Obama and Barack Obama speak last night, and they spoke to my soul, and that spiritual oasis was created. Yeah, dude, that's not at all cult-like, right? That doesn't sound like you're in a cult at all. Ah, you're fine. Stop it. Now, CNN reported last night that Kamala Harris actually had her plane circle for an extra 15 minutes so that her goofy husband could finish his goofy speech last night. What was the impact on climate change with that? How much jet fuel did they burn? Or are they flying around in wind-powered jets? Was it a hang glider? I'm curious how that works. But what a waste of, what a carbon footprint, huh? Cut number 8.
Yeah, the vice president was returning to Chicago after having campaigned in Milwaukee earlier in the day. And she was on Air Force 2 when her husband, Doug Emhoff, the second gentleman, began speaking at the convention. So the plane actually circled for an extra 15 minutes, we're told, in the sky so she could finish watching his speech. Of course,
15 minutes just burning jet fuel away, just heating up the planet, heating up the earth. Not that I think that actually does those things, but the left does. So since they believe those things, what kind of a carbon footprint was that, Kamala? Just curious to hear your goofy husband finish a story that you've heard a million times before. Just saying. I'm just pointing that out. You know what else was interesting last night? Bernie Sanders came out and savaged billionaires. And then you had the governor of Illinois J.B. Pritzker come out and say he's a billionaire. So Bernie goes out there and goes after billionaires, and then J.B. Pritzker goes out and says, I'm a real billionaire, and I know what it's like. They can't get their message right. Are you anti-billionaire or are you pro-billionaire? I can't figure it out with you people. I really can't. But he went on, Bernie went on and on about how terrible billionaires are, and then J.B. gets up there and winds up saying that he's a real billionaire. He's a real billionaire. So here's what he said last night, cut number nine. Cut nine.
Donald Trump thinks that we should trust him on the economy because he claims to be very rich. But take it from an actual billionaire.
Oh, I thought you guys were scum. Bernie just told us.
Trump is rich in only one thing, stupidity.
That's it. See, it's so funny because I was told by Bernie that billionaires were the bad guys and that too many of our fellow Americans are struggling because of billionaires every day. And this is what Bernie said, cut five.
Because too many of our fellow Americans are struggling every day to just get by, to put food on the table, to pay the rent, and to get the health care they need.
Why? Because billionaires are bad. That's why. But then we get up there and we have a real billionaire in J.B. Pritzker stand up on the stage and talk to everybody. So that's how that works. Isn't that something? Max is in Cinnaminson, New Jersey, Sin City. Max, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Rich. Elections are about appealing to a bunch of special interest groups, and the collection of their votes is kind of what's pushing somebody into office. So we have this silly idea of loan forgiveness or whatever, which is just going to put a bunch of banks out of business. What if instead Trump comes out and says, listen, we're going to make student loans a tax write-off. In this case, businesses can then pay the loans for their employees off and take the tax write-off. The students will be happy. The businesses will be happy. They get another write-off and a feather in their cap or whatnot. And then secondarily, we can take all this stupid money that they're using for climate change, and let's just funnel that right into the Social Security system. So now we've picked up the old people, the college people, and the business owners. You know, I think this would appeal to a great many people, some of them even liberals.
I like it, actually. I really do. It's a really good idea. So, yeah, I think you got something there, Max.
Are you able to, like, get information backdoor to Trump, something like
sure.
that? Is that something that needs to, you know, he needs to announce that at one of these rallies or one of these television events, something like that? Because I'm telling you, what they're doing is going to drive us into an early grave, all of us. You know,
yeah.
it's just ridiculous.
I hear you, buddy. So I got to run. Listen, yeah. I got to run, Max. But it's a great idea. I will certainly pass it along for you. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. By the way, the jobs numbers have been manipulated, and the Biden-Harris administration has been caught manipulating the jobs numbers. And Trump spoke about that at the rally in North Carolina today. I'll play for you what the former president said. And I'll tell you exactly how they manipulated the numbers and how there's more manipulation that's going to come. We're live from the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago. It's great to be with you today. We got a lot to chat about. I do want to remind you, we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up on Friday, September 6th. Mark your calendar. Donald Trump Jr. a little bit later in the show today. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Big news that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be dropping out of the race on Friday and backing Donald Trump. Look at that. Trump also said a short time ago that he's going to hire back over 8,000 service members who were fired from our military for refusing the COVID vaccine mandate. He said, I will rehire every patriot who was fired from the military with an apology and back pay. That's huge. That's huge. He just said that a short time ago in North Carolina. And good for him. As the commander in chief, he absolutely has the authority to do that. Good for him. You know, if you fire him by commander in chief authority, you can rehire him. by commander-in-chief authority. So good for him. That's smart. Smart move. Because I think people were outraged that people wanted to serve our country but wanted to respect their bodily autonomy. It was funny, last night I heard Democrats say, stay the hell out of the doctor's office, which is the party that literally made you go to the doctor and get a shot if you wanted to go to a restaurant, work, or serve your country. The hypocrisy with these people knows no bounds. So let's think about the effect of RFK Jr. dropping out of the race and what this means. So first of all, some numbers for you to look at here in terms of this. According to Real Clear Politics polling averages, Arizona, right now, Trump versus Harris, head-to-head, very, very close, razor thin. Trump is up 0.2, so statistically tied, dead heat. But with third-party candidates in the race, Harris is actually up 0.6. So with RFK Jr. in the race, she has a slight lead. Now, again, it's statistically negligible, and it's basically a tie. But still, when we're talking about an election that could be decided by handfuls of votes in precincts in the swing states of Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, Wisconsin, whatever, every single vote counts. So in Arizona, Trump versus Harris head-to-head, Trump's up 0.2. I just said that. Wisconsin, Harris is up 1, but when you add in third-party candidates, she's up 1.5. Michigan, Trump versus Harris head-to-head, Trump is up 2. When you add third-party candidates, Harris is up 2.4. So you see, in Michigan, in a place like that, the effect of an RFK Jr. really does help her because it gives them an alternative without having to vote for Trump. So that helps Kamala Harris a lot if RFK Jr. stays in the race. Pennsylvania, Trump versus Harris head-to-head, Trump's up 0.2. With third-party candidates, Harris is up 0.2, or Harris is up by 2 points. So again, that's the other point, too, that I mentioned to you, that the effect of RFK Jr. dropping out and backing Trump says a symbol, a loud message, I think, to his people. You got to make a choice here. All right? You got to make a choice. And even if you don't love Trump, this is a binary choice. This election comes down to one of two choices. Doug Emhoff, such a freaking dork, man. I'm telling you, this guy's a dork. But before I get to that, you know how they always say Trump is a cult and Trump voters are in a cult and you're all a bunch of cultists and everything else, all the mockery that they do? Well, Van Jones last night on CNN said probably the cultiest thing I've heard in a long time. And I don't usually watch CNN, but I happened to catch this because I wanted to hear some of the reaction after last night. And Van Jones said this after the Obamas came out and spoke on stage last night. Tell me this doesn't sound like a cult to you. Cut number 4.
Then Michelle, she wasn't doing the minister role. She was really doing the coaching role in that she called it right out. She said, you guys, you know, she talked about the affirmative action of generational wealth. She talked about the luxury of whining and cheating that other people don't have. But she didn't stop there. She also called the left up. And she said the whining on the left needs to stop. The Goldilocks, they're not perfect. This was a masterful act of leadership. It was a sacred task. They took it on well. It was like an oasis. I didn't realize I had been in a spiritual desert until they created that oasis on that stage, and they did a beautiful job tonight.
I didn't realize I was in a spiritual desert until I heard Michelle Obama and Barack Obama speak last night, and they spoke to my soul. And that spiritual oasis was created. Yeah, dude, that's not at all cult-like, right? That doesn't sound like you're in a cult at all. Ah, you're fine. Stop it. Now, CNN reported last night that Kamala Harris actually had her plane circle for an extra 15 minutes so that her goofy husband could finish his goofy speech last night. What was the impact on climate change with that? How much jet fuel did they burn? Or are they flying around in wind-powered jets? Was it a hang glider? I'm curious how that works. But what a waste of, what a carbon footprint, huh? Cut number 8.
Yeah, you know, the vice president was returning to Chicago after having campaigned in Milwaukee earlier in the day. And she was on Air Force 2 when her husband, Doug Emhoff, the second gentleman, began speaking at the convention. So the plane actually circled for an extra 15 minutes, we're told, in the sky so she could finish watching his speech. Of course,
15 minutes just burning jet fuel away, just heating up the planet, heating up the earth. Not that I think that actually does those things, but the left does. So since they believe those things, what kind of a carbon footprint was that, Kamala? Just curious to hear your goofy husband finish a story that you've heard a million times before. Just saying. I'm just pointing that out. You know what else was interesting last night? Bernie Sanders came out and savaged billionaires. And then you had the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, come out and say he's a billionaire. So Bernie goes out there and goes after billionaires. And then J.B. Pritzker goes out and says, I'm a real billionaire. And I know what it's like. They can't get their message right. Are you anti-billionaire or are you pro-billionaire? I can't figure it out with you people. I really can't. But he went on. Bernie went on and on about how terrible billionaires are. And then J.B. gets up there and winds up saying that he's a real billionaire. He's a real billionaire. So here's what he said last night, cut number nine. Cut nine.
Donald Trump thinks that we should trust him on the economy because he claims to be very rich. But take it from an actual billionaire.
Oh, I thought you guys were scum. Bernie just told us.
Trump is rich in only one thing, stupidity.
That's it. See, it's so funny because I was told by Bernie that billionaires were the bad guys and that too many of our fellow Americans are struggling because of billionaires every day. And this is what Bernie said. Cut five.
Because too many of our fellow Americans are struggling every day to just get by, to put food on the table, to pay the rent, and to get the health care they need.
Why? Because billionaires are bad. That's why. But then we get up there and we have a real billionaire in J.B. Pritzker stand up on the stage and talk to everybody. So that's how that works. Isn't that something? Max is in Cinnaminson, New Jersey, Sin City. Max, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Rich. Elections are about appealing to a bunch of special interest groups, and the collection of their votes is kind of what's pushing somebody into office. So we have this silly idea of loan forgiveness or whatever, which is just going to put a bunch of banks out of business. What if instead Trump comes out and says, listen, we're going to make student loans a tax write-off. In this case, businesses can then pay the loans for their employees off and take the tax write-off. The students will be happy. The businesses will be happy. They get another write-off and a feather in their cap or whatnot. And then secondarily, we can take all this stupid money that they're using for climate change, and let's just funnel that right into the Social Security system. So now we've picked up the old people, the college people, and the business owners. You know, I think this would appeal to a great many people, some of them even liberals.
I like it, actually. I really do. It's a really good idea. So, yeah, you got something there,
Max.
But it
has to be announced. Are you able to, like, get information backdoor to Trump, something like
that?
Is that something that needs to, you know, he needs to announce that at one of these rallies or one of these television events, something like that? Because I'm telling you, what they're doing is going to drive us into an early grave, all of us. You know,
yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
I hear you, buddy. I got to run. Listen, yeah. I got to run, Max. But it's a great idea. I will certainly pass it along for you. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. By the way, the jobs numbers have been manipulated, and the Biden-Harris administration has been caught manipulating the jobs numbers. And Trump spoke about that at the rally in North Carolina today. I'll play for you what the former president said. And I'll tell you exactly how they manipulated the numbers and how there's more manipulation that's going to come. We're live from the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago. It's great to be with you today. We got a lot to chat about. I do want to remind you, we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up on Friday, September 6th. Mark your calendar. Donald Trump Jr. a little bit later in the show today. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.